the youth dude. You're going to hear a youth message, maybe. So I have great news this morning. Awesome, amazing, spectacular news. God is here with us. Is that not awesome? Yeah, awesome. Now, even better is right after service, as soon as we get done, we're going to file out single file, and we're going to meet with God one-on-one back there for a progress report. Is that as exciting? For some of us, it really is, right? For some, maybe nerves. Good news, bad news. Good news is God is here, right? Kind of bad news maybe for some of us. No progress report directly from God. But some of us would still like that. And I imagine what mine would look like. No? Booyah. I imagine mine. So bear with me for a minute. Neil. All right, Neil. Hey, have I told you lately how much I absolutely love you more than you can ever imagine? I have? All right, sweet. So let me look this over here. Hey, you put your trust in my son. That's awesome. That's nice. That's good. Don't have to worry about that one. All right, so here are a couple hundred things that I would like you to work on. There you go. Hey, I love you. Next. Is that kind of how any of you could see yours going? Now, of course, I want to tell you also, I am very happy and very secure in the fact that I know how much God loves me, and he forgives me for putting him in that role of supervisor or boss, okay? But thinking about it sometimes makes me uncomfortable, and I think about it quite a bit. How am I doing? Not for salvation, but how am I doing as a follower of Christ? Does it drive me to be better? Does it make me happy when I think about a progress report? Does it make me nervous? Does it do those things to you if you really thought you were going to have a progress report with God? I would think it would be all those things. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us, and thank you for loving us even when we put you in some imaginary place that you are not, Lord. We know you are holy and awesome. Lord, I just pray for this morning. I pray for my words. I pray for what you've put on my heart. I pray that our ears and our eyes and our minds are open this morning to what you want us to hear, each of us individually. And I pray that if anything comes out of my mouth that you do not want to be heard, that you will just close minds and you will close ears. In your name we pray. Amen. So this morning, we're going to continue my series from March. It's only been a couple months. And it does work. If you were here in March 19 weeks ago, I talked about Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 10. And then 2 weeks later, I was able to talk again about Jonah, the book of Jonah. The first week of our series, Made Alive in Christ, as followers of Christ, we remember who we were, who saved us, and what we are called to be. We are saved by grace, by the grace of God through faith and belief in Christ, who God sent to die on the cross for us. But after believing, we are made alive again. We are born again. And it finishes with verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We were challenged that week. I hope you were challenged. I was challenged that week to remember who I was before Christ. For you to remember who you were before Christ, so you weren't that same person anymore. So you looked completely different. So I look completely different after having Christ in my heart. We were challenged to remember who saved us and how he saved us and be confident in God and his grace and our faith and use it as part of our testimony. And then, of course, lastly, we were challenged to live out our faith, to be on the lookout for those things that God put right in front of us to be doing. The next week, two weeks later, we read through Jonah. We were encouraged that if we truly believe in Jesus, which I believe most of us do, that we could believe in this story of Jonah as fact, that Jesus even spoke about it on his time on earth. Challenges that day were to be listening for God's calling, to be willing and open to do what he is asking, to remember that God is with us always, even when we stumble, even when we don't feel like we're doing it as well as we wish we were, to love others, everybody else, no matter our personal thoughts or our horrible thoughts of some people, Jonah, to do his work happily with love in our hearts and with the right attitude. And remember, it's not up to us to try to figure out who God loves, because he loves everyone. And it's not up to us to try to figure out who God wants to save, because he wants to save everyone. To do his good works. And remember that it is him and his word that saves. So, I always try to preach what God has been putting on my heart. And when I thought about tonight, or today, early on, it was a continuation of those two things. It's exactly what God has been putting on my heart now for 4 months, however long, 19 weeks. I hope that we have more challenges, more self-examination. We get more encouragement through this fake progress report that I'm going to use. First and pretty important in our progress report is salvation, or loving God. Jesus in John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life," right? Most of us have heard that. Paul says in Romans 10:9-10, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." So first on our progress report, again, God loves us no matter, right? Do we love God? Do we put our trust in God? Do you believe? Are you saved? Is there a difference? I will say this, I believe that you can believe in God, that you can believe that he had a son named Jesus, that you can believe that his son died for the sins of mankind and not be saved. Does that blow some of you away? Does it make some of you want to throw me out? If so, hear me out. I believe the word as 100% factual, okay? So I believe all those things as fact. Lots of people can believe all these things as fact. But he says believe, right? All you have to do is believe. Well, it's a different belief. Believing something in fact and putting your trust in is different. Scripture tells us in James that even the demons believe. They know the facts. Look at it this way. Both of them say believe, right? But both those words are that Greek word, pistuo, I believe is how you say it. To have faith, that is credit or implicate, to entrust, to believe, to commit, to trust, to put your trust with. Paul even says in his, it's to believe in with your heart. And we look at that Greek word, that cardia, prolonged from the heart, that is, the thoughts or feelings. This is good news to me. It's our hearts, whether or not we believe in Christ. It's not our minds, it's our hearts. It's our mind too, but it's with our hearts. And why is this good news for me? Because 1 Samuel, one of my favorite stories. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." He sees us for our hearts. I think about it this way. We can fool people, but we can't fool God. He sees us only for our feelings, for our actions, for what we feel. That is the belief part of it. What is the difference between loving and or believing and this believing with your heart, putting your trust in Jesus, loving God? How could that look? How could Neil think there's two different things? It's simple for me. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, Jesus speaking. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' And I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" To me, that's just the difference between the realization for me that you can believe. There are people who can go to church that can know. And then there's a difference between those people and the ones that believe with their hearts. Does the will of my Father. So, progress point number one. And for many of us, most of us, we're like, "Oh, really? It's still talking about salvation." Do you love God? Have you put your trust in Jesus? Not just believe there is a God, but a God who sent his Son to die to you for you. Have you put your trust in his Son? Is your faith in his Son to cleanse you of your sins? Not by anything you can do, but by faith. And his grace of God and his Son's blood on the cross. If you have, awesome. You're good. The section is over. Congratulations. God is pleased. God is happy. That would have been that awesome. Let's move on. But if you have not, I want to talk to you for a few minutes. What are you waiting for? Why have you not put your trust in Jesus? And I know there's some of you in here that are searching, are wondering, have been coming. You want to know, but you haven't yet. James 4:14 says, "Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." I heard somebody on CSG, and I'm sure it's some famous quote, but I heard somebody on CSG put it this way: "The person who died this morning had plans for this afternoon, and the person who died yesterday had plans for today." We have no idea when our time will be. Have you felt him knocking on your heart? Have you felt him calling your name? Yelling at you, maybe, with love and passion. He loves you so much. He wants nothing more for you, and you put your trust in him. He wants you to love him back. I've had this conversation with teens and with a few adults, but I don't feel good enough. I'm not good enough. Has nothing to do with that. But I do want to encourage you with Scripture. In Luke chapter 18, we are told that a rich young ruler comes to Jesus and wants to get in. And I'm not going to tell that whole story, but at the end, he won't get rid of self. He's too selfish to follow Jesus. And the disciples are a little bit bummed. And they say, "Well, who then will ever get in?" And Jesus says what? "With man, This is not possible. But with God, it's possible. If you read just the next chapter, we read about my man, Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus enters Jericho, and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. If you study at all, you'll understand quickly, chief tax collectors were almost chief sinners in some way. They were hated. They were greedy. They had a love of money. They stole. They bribed. They did everything they could. Nobody liked them. And he was wealthy. Do we get that? The wealthy young man had just come and said, I want to follow you. And Jesus had said, do this. No, couldn't do this. So now we have another wealthy man. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, why would Zacchaeus want to see Jesus? He had to have heard about Jesus. Somebody had to have shown him or talked to him about Jesus. So he knows Jesus, and in some ways he believes probably a little bit in Jesus, but he hasn't put his trust in him. That's far from his mind. But he's getting ready to have his Jesus moment. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house tonight, today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. I can't invite you to let Jesus into your heart. Jesus invites you. You have to hear that call from Jesus and respond exactly like Zacchaeus does. All the people saw this and began to matter. He's gone to be with the guest of a sinner. Is that what you worry about if you're not saved? It is. What are people going to think of me? I'm a horrible person. I've done this and this. What about Bob? What's Bob going to think? Bob knows all the things I used to do. He has gone to live in the house or gone to stay in the house of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back four times the amount. Zacchaeus' heart changed when he accepted the invitation of Jesus. When he answered the call of Jesus, his heart changed immediately. And he proclaimed with his mouth, in some ways, what Jesus had been preaching all over the area, that he was going to start giving and he was going to pay back. Jesus said to him today, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He came for you. If you're waiting, if you can feel him calling, he came for you. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. Zacchaeus heard Jesus calling and answered. Jesus didn't care about his past. He wanted him to come with him, and in doing so, changing his heart. Zacchaeus does. And once Zacchaeus' love of self is replaced by love of God, his heart changes. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. If you've been wanting, if you've been searching, if you've been waiting, if you want a Savior, if you want a personal relationship with God, and I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to make you come up here, I'm not going to even make you raise your hand, because I don't care. It's between you and God. But we're going to bow our heads and we're going to pray. And if you're seeking Jesus, pray this with me. Pray with me. God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner, and I am sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I need your forgiveness, Lord. I believe that your only Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross and died for my sins. And I am willing now to turn from my sin. You say in your holy word, Romans 10:9, that if we confess the Lord our God and confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. Right now I confess Jesus as the Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now, I am saved. Thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to transform my life so that I might also bring glory and honor to you alone and no longer for myself. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me eternal life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, please let me know, or let Vic know, or let Matt know. Let someone know. You need a hug. You are loved and welcomed. Okay, so progress point number one on our fake progress report is done. Salvation. Progress report, point number two, and there are only two, is live like Jesus. Live like Jesus. Or love everybody as much as you love yourself. Matthew 22:37, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I was in a class with Dan this last winter, and I always want to say his name wrong, but Bodhi Bachman. Put it this way, he was talking about this verse, and I love the way he put it. Of course, if you know the background, the Pharisees had tried to trip Jesus up, and it didn't work, and so the Sadducees, or vice versa, I'm sorry if I'm not exactly correct on that, decided, ooh, well then, if they couldn't do it, we're going to do it. And so one of them, they got together, and they tried to figure out, what can we ask him to trip him up? And that's what they asked him was, what, Lord? What's the greatest commandment of the ten? And Bodhi says, I'm telling you what Bodhi says. Jesus says, well, the most important commandment is 1 through 5, or 1 through 4, followed closely by 5 through 10. 1 through 4, love God. 5 through 10, love your brother as yourself. It's a mic drop moment for me, and I don't know, I wish... I'm not going to break a mic. It's a mic drop. Lord, what's the most important commandment? I would love to have, wouldn't you love to have that authority and power that, and he, I know he didn't do it for that, but the flesh in me is like, boom, there you go, love God, then love others, and I just hope he walked away. See you guys later. And they all stood there with their mouths open. So how do we do the second part, love others as much as we love ourselves? I think James says it best in James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. And when I wrote that originally, I had do what it says in bold and in big word. And I'm like, well, I don't, that's me. I think that's kind of the way James was probably writing it. And I bet in Greek or whatever, if you have like all caps, maybe that do what it says was in all caps. Maybe not. I'll paraphrase some of the ways I think we can live that out, okay? And I'm going to put verses up here, but there's these and more. As you can see, I'm not going to read through all of them, but we can live every day as followers of Christ. We can let the Holy Spirit lead us. We can spend time in the Word. We can spend time in prayer. We can love others. We can live not afraid. We live life not thinking about ourselves first. We teach God in our households. We put others' needs before our own. We give to God and those others in need. We pray for and forgive those who have wronged us. We don't let sin rule our lives. We walk in obedience to God. We make a habit of having fellowship with other believers. We go to church regularly. We follow Jesus wherever he leads us. We live as lights in a dark world. And I could go on and on and on. And where did I get all these? I got these from Scripture. Not my words, not my thoughts, not my wants or desires from you, but God's word. What we do shows our heart. Our actions, our attitudes, our words, our thoughts. Those are our heart. That's our heart. God saves us pretty easily, don't you think? I mean, it's pretty amazing to think that believe with my heart, profess with my mouth, ask for forgiveness. Bam! Saved. The New Testament could be what? Like 6 pages long. We've got all this scripture, and some of that's Old Testament. We've got all this New Testament that's written by men. I don't mean it bad, but banging their heads against a wall, encouraging. I will say rebuking a lot of times, but encouraging and trying to tell people, this is how Jesus wants you to live your life. You're saved. You no longer have any other worries. Live your life like Christ did. That's point number two on our progress report, our fake progress report. So how do you think you've done? Because I'm hoping in your minds you've given yourself a fake progress report. Good, bad, ugly, I'm sure there's a mixture from each and every one of us of all three. And I'm sure there's also room for improvement for all of us. A couple awesome things about this. We can improve every day, every minute. And we can look like Christ to others every day, every minute. And if we really want a progress report from God, all you have to do is ask God for one. I made that mistake, or I don't know if it's a mistake, but I've been doing that for a while. It's a heart examination is what I call it. A heart examination. But pray and ask him where you can improve, what he wants you to do. And he will tell you. He will put it in your heart, I promise. I have been asking this for the last couple months, and among many, many other things, he put on my heart that he wants me to do this for real. And I don't mean that like, yay. For me, that means school. I don't want to go to school. It costs a lot of money. It takes a lot of time. It's a lot of hard work. It costs a lot of money, right? All those are the things that go through my mind. But God, where do you want me to improve? What do you want me to do? What next, school? Okay, let's try this again. God, hey, he will put it on your mind and you will know. And there will be no getting away from it. You will be like Jonah maybe. You will maybe try to run. But you won't get away from it. What is he asking you to do? Where does he want you to go? What crazy, unimaginable thing has he put on your heart? Not all of them are hard or crazy or make your heart race, but some of them will. Progress report or heart examination when you're saved has nothing to do with salvation, and it has nothing to do with how much he loves you. Or does he love you? Nothing. He does, and you're in. It has to do with loving him. I want to wrap up this morning with some encouragement from the Word, and then we'll pray. John 15:9-17, Jesus speaking. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you to do this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this. That's not right. To lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. That's amazing. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Pretty simple. Pretty hard, right? We can do it, guys, gals, brothers, sisters. We can do it. We have him on our side. Let's pray. Lord, I hope you got through whatever that was to whoever needed to hear it. Lord, I hope we heard loud and clear what you wanted spoke to each and every one of us. I hope you opened our eyes and our minds and we're doing a little self-examination. We know how much you love us, Lord. Let us show that love you have for us and everyone else through us as lights. Help us, Lord, every day. Look more like you. Be better brothers and sisters in Christ. Be better followers of Christ, Lord. Let us go to your word and seek you for wisdom. And let us encourage each other. Thank you again, Lord, for everything you do and how much you love us. In your name we pray. Amen.